Chairman. Actually, to speak after this powerful canto is blasphemy, if you ask me. And best is to just slip into meditation. The speech falls short, baffled. It returns from there, as the Upanishad says. Anyways, so man has been endowed with, blessed with, cursed with a seeking mind, which is the apple he had eaten, since it's the apple of fruit of knowledge. So he can't eat it half, he has to eat it fully. And so man has pursued several approaches to, as a seeker in search of truth. And the two original mysteries that confront all of us is existence and consciousness. People often think death is a mystery. Death is much, comes much later. And when this mystery or the answer to this mystery is confined to me, my existence, then we raise the question, who am I? But existence is there. This whole universe is teeming with existence. And the other mystery is consciousness. And we shall see how gradually, before we come to Sri Aurobindo, just a few minutes, how man has given different answers to this enigma. So there is, of course, the answer given by the material scientists that existence is matter, jada prakriti, no news about it. So it is unfolding by patterns. And we call these patterns as laws, we study them, use them, these processes, but they are nothing but the constant whirling of atoms in space, which naturally get into habitual patterns, and it's nature. But then consciousness emerges, and now we all know that how world over there is discussion going on. It has always gone on. What is consciousness? Where does it come from? Science is yet to answer it. There are different viewpoints. But Sankhya philosophy answered it in a way very simply that, well, yes, it's nature, it's jada, it's habit, mechanical. But consciousness comes from Purusha. So there is Prakriti and there is Purusha. Purusha is consciousness. His light falls into nature and it becomes conscious by that light. If it withdraws that light from nature, it's the same. So this was one explanation given, very close to where material science is leading us today. But obviously it raises more questions than it answers them. So the second way, second level after this Sankhya came, that this world is Maya and there is Brahman. So Maya is someone who measures out. She controls the funds of the Brahman. She measures the infinite. That's how the word comes, Ma, Mata, Matra. So Maya measures it out. This is the original meaning. But now the meaning is it's illusion, which is as vague as it can be. It's very good to say that, you know, all this is illusion till you have a pinprick on the flesh. And so it was never meant to be like that, but that's how it has come to acquire the common meaning that it's an illusion. So this is a shortcut to thought. Only lazy minds can be happy with it. Because then you don't have to think about it. You have to simply say it's an illusion. I have a problem with my wife. It's an illusion. Now where is the solution? Solution is come out of it. Detach yourself. Renounce. Get into the sole reality, which is Brahman. Solution is fine. But it doesn't go beyond the classroom. Because, as the poet says, Maya badi thagani. It won't leave you so easily because there is a purpose. That's what Sri Krishna says, my Maya. You can't slay Maya, you can slay Moha. So there we have the next level, that well, you cannot say that this is Maya in the sense illusion, therefore I'll be done with it. But you can reorient and change the way you relate with it. So we have in the Isha Upanishad and the Gita wonderful slokas which explain how we can connect with this Maya. We can connect with this world on the basis of Moha. Moha is a delusion. It's not delusion in the way psychiatrists define it. Or possibly it's the great delusion. So the delusion is I as the ego. So this creates a delusion. You think this world should move around me. The universe should move around me. God should dance around me. Until your child says enough is enough. I am not going to dance around you. Either the wife will teach you. Wife. Or the child will definitely teach you that no, the world doesn't dance around you. It has its own way, its own rhythm. So people develop a feeling of disillusionment. And then they again get into the illusion. So anyway, but we can reorient, and that's something very beautiful, that well, this world belongs to God. It is His Leela. So after Maya, there comes the next level of, you know, Maya is graduation and post-graduation, Sri Krishna brings. Says it is Leela. Leela meaning it's a divine play. So once we understand it, divine play, He calls the shots. He is doing what He is doing. We have to align ourselves with the play. We have not much choice left. You align with the play, you participate in it, and it's like this that we use the word play. So imagine we can enter into the play without knowing the rules of the game. Suddenly somebody transports someone in a soccer, rugby, football, a cricket field. Suddenly in the middle, you don't know what's going on. You don't know whether they are after the ball or after you. And you are running here and there, helter-skelter. So we can play the play in ignorance of the rules. Or we can play the play with the awareness, knowledge of the rules. So what are these rules? It doesn't come as a standard rule book. That's the beauty. But the one word for this rule, it's not really rule, but the law. The law behind things. It's called dharma. So if you play along with dharma, then you play well. So if you have the kshatriya dharma, you are killing. It's dharma, because that's the dharma of the kshatriya to kill. If you are into business, you have no enemies. You can't afford to have enemies. It's the dharma of the business. If you are a seeker after knowledge, you don't care what language it is spoken in. You know, somebody asks, Sri Aurobindo is written in English. I say, leaving aside that, by default, English has become the international language. But leave that aside. How many people who lament about it really know Sanskrit or Hebrew? Or for that matter, even Arabic? If you are a seeker, you will learn the language. Because truth can come from any which way. It will use any language, and its most profound words are, or its most profound truths are revealed in silence. So it doesn't matter whether it's English or French or German, truth is truth. That's what spiritual life is about. And if one is not ready for truth and is only looking at the package and the parcel, then just bad luck. That's all. So dharma is to know the truth of things, the law, and it's a very vast and complex subject. So I'm not touching. Dharma is not a rule book. Dharma is not social duty. Dharma is not legal responsibility. Dharma is not even the common understanding of morality and ethics or duties as the society enjoined. It's something much too deep and profound. It's almost a workshop on dharma. But there are rules of the game. You know it. You know, go with the dharma. You are playing the game well. And if you don't know the dharma, you will end up hurting yourself. And it's not about justice. Justice is a different thing altogether. Say, Somebody would say that, well, I don't know about, I don't care about dharma, I'll do as I feel like, do it. You'll become slowly such a isolated person, so narrow, you'll be surrounded by flatterers and people will, at the end of the day, the more selfish we are, the more unhappy we are. There is no need of an external justice. That's there, but that's Shani Dev's domain. We'll not talk about that. But the instant justice that when we are selfish, when we believe the world should run around me, a common problem, as a counselor, I keep telling people that, you are unhappy in marriage. Who is at the center? So at the center should be the fire of aspiration. That's how the marriages are conducted. Or in a church, it should be God in the center. But if I'm at the center, or my parents are in the center, or if you are in the center and your parents are in the center, it's going to be chaos. You have already written the decree. So, dharma. There was also a dharma of married life. So, dharma is way too profound, and for each age, each stage, there is a dharma. Dharma of a child, dharma of a, youthful person, different temperaments, gona karma vibhag. So, we leave it at there. But play. So you can play the play with the rules of the game or the law behind it, or you can play it without knowing the law. The difference will be that you'll get hit, you'll play very badly, and at the end of the day some gain will be there, but you really don't. When we play without understanding, it creates chaos. So this is so far. Then Shri Krishna hints, he speaks so much about, dharma. At the end, he has knocked at the doors of the supermind, but he knows this is not the time, so he doesn't open it. So he knocks. One of the knocking at the door is Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharnam Raja Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Masucha. He says, abandon all dharmas, but this is only half the truth. And take refuge in me alone. That time Krishna is the super conscient, the divine. He's not Krishna as the vibhuti, the personality, which it says that I am both. But Krishna is the divine. So take refuge in the divine alone. So what is going to happen? Why take refuge in the divine? So now, after Leela, the divine play, which we don't understand, we have to accept it. And when we see suffering, evil, pain, we sometimes wonder, that why me? Why at all? This why me actually is not the right question, by the way. As if I am singled out for suffering. The story of the Buddha. Somebody says, are you God? He says, people say so. Believe so. He says, can you do miracles? He says, people believe so. So he says, my very near and dear one has died. Can you raise him? By the way, raising the dead is raising out of the life of ignorance into the life of truth. Raising the dead is not immediate literal raising. That's what our life is, entombed in death. This is the unfortunate. That's how mystics describe it. So anyways, so he says, okay, yes, I'll do it. Just go to 5 houses, get some grains from there, and he's ready to go. He says, wait, hold on, don't rush. Hear the complete truth. Get grain from 5 houses where nobody has ever died ever. Comes back, he says, I'm sorry, I couldn't find. He said, so? So you see, this, not going into the different layers of the story, but then why this is there? Why death is there? Why there is suffering? If it is God's play. And the mother says that if you look at the play from the other side, it looks like a cruel joke. We may justify karma. Some life you did something. You don't even know. Even a human justice, he will tell you. Decree. You did this. That's how. So this can't be justice that, the whole world cannot be all about justice. There'll be no hope in that case. Mother would say, if justice, never invoke justice, invoke grace. If justice were to manifest, how many of you will be really able to stand? We really look deep inside ourselves. But that apart, now Sri Aurobindo raises these questions. So what is his answer? So we have the conception of Jada Prakriti and Purusha. We have Maya and Brahman. We have the Leela. And now he speaks of, there is no really word for it, but manifestation. What is manifestation? It's actually, when you read Sri Aurobindo, you wonder, why did nobody ever think about it? It is so evident. Manifestation is what is there in the seed will come out into a tree through stages. And so what is at the seed of creation? Eko ham bahushyama. That, okay, we'll use the word divine, sounds much more connected. The divine willed. We'll not go into the meaning of the words willed. The one wanted to become many. The Upanishad even gives a very interesting reason for why the one didn't want to become many. Ekaki naramyate. You can't enjoy life only alone. You need more people. The more the merrier. Imagine going to a cinema, very good cinema, alone. There is nobody to discuss, nobody to talk about it. And when you come back, but if you go with somebody, well, if the thoughts are gelling, if not, then. But he wanted to, one wanted to become many. And from there the game starts. So what many? Obviously, if the core is divine, if the source is divine, if the seed is divine, the fate of creation is divine. So simple logic. QED. I mean, any child can think about it. If the source is divine, then the end will be divine. That's the seed. The imperishable seed in transient things. So the question is, then what is all this? Far from divine. If you really look at creation, we don't have to look at creation. We have to just look at ourselves in utter honesty. Not as we want others to look at ourselves, but in ourselves. Are we really divine in this, all this, our actions, thought, feelings? Deep inside, yes. Soham asmi, tattvam asi are wonderful truths, but they belong to the deepest core. The seed is divine. That we already know that that's not unique to me and you, but to the whole creation. But when we look at our expressions, our nature, the way we operate, well, if this is divine, then God alone knows what happened to the creativity of the Lord. So he says this manifestation is by steps and stages. A tree doesn't suddenly grow from a seed into a tree and start bearing flowers and fruits. There's no such magic in time and space. It evolves. We don't use the word evolution for a seed changing into a tree, but it evolves. It will manifest. It'll go through challenges. It'll go through darkness. It'll go through, you know, dangers, difficulties, and eventually it'll grow into a tree. So this is the process that is going on. The only thing happening, the most happening thing, and it's going on everywhere. It's going on in America, it's going on in India, it's going on in Timbuktu, it's going on in the malls, it's going on the traffics. It's going on everywhere all the time because there is a constant pressure from the one, before we talk about, to bring out what is inside. At present, we are in the middle stage or a crucial turning point, as the mother puts it, of this manifestation. In other words, it's not yet finished. Creation is not yet finished. Thank God. Thank God. There is hope. Man is a transitional being. Thank God. So we are all products in the making. And the egoistic person says, I'm a finished product. He is finished. Because the moment you say, I am finished product, I have learned all that I needed to learn, I know everything. That's the problem with people with big degrees, you know. Somehow they have this illusion that, this is illusion, but illusion. I know it all. There is a nice limerick My name is Benjamin Jowett. Don't Google search for who is he. I am a graduate from Balliol College. All that is knowledge, I know it. All that I do not know is not knowledge. So the people who believe, this is the worst belief. You may believe in God, at least you are safe. Whatever God of your construction. But if you believe that I know it all, this is the worst delusion, because then there is no further progress. Simple logic. That's why progress begins when we, at least within the ego boundaries, there comes the chink by humility. Call it through surrender, call it just by the sense of humility that there is no end to knowledge. Knowledge is infinite. Who can say I know? What arms can say I possess God? Well, who can say that I have really found everything of Him? No, it's infinite. That's what we read, the infinite, the Divine Mother. So it's unfolding humility and surrender. That, you know, the Isha Upanishad puts it so beautifully. Avijyatam vijanata. He who knows it not, knows it. He who has the thought of it, knows it not. So this is manifestation has reached a point where it is now ready to take the next leap. How many years? My God, lakh, at least 1 lakh, conservative estimate, maybe 1 million years. Humanity has been struggling. I'm not going into that history of 10,000 years. Okay, that's outrightly. But a scientific approach that, you know, maybe 1 lakh or maybe 1 million years, it is varying. We have been wandering, carrying this fire. What more? What more? What next? Is there something greater? And this search has led to philosophies, pages after pages, religions, exposing or discovering occult truths, laws of nature, tantra, science, all this. Mankind has reached this point. And now it is raising this question, yes, but what next? What is it after AI? There is an answer to that. Answer is S-I-N-D-I. Spiritual intelligence and divine intelligence. So this is the journey. It has reached a critical turning point. Now, there have been several critical turning points. When evolution entered into a kind of narrow gorge, that's when the avatar comes. He's always operating from behind, but he suddenly appears in the center stage, shows mankind the way that, okay, this way you can navigate this better. He does it by his own example and humanity follows. That's the whole idea of avatar. Yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhityanam adharmasya tadatma shujamayam. Whenever there is the glani of dharma, you see dharma comes. Dharma is the people are following the law, but they have made it into an absurdity. I must listen to my parents, whatever they may tell me, even if they tell me to do evil because parents are God. Now this is stupid. Modern man understands it. But there was a time when people took it like this. So this is called dharma siglani. Yada yada hi dharma siglani. So during that time the avatar comes and he shows the way. What is the way out of that impasse and how to lead humanity? So humanity reached this point somewhere in last couple of centuries, it has been reaching that point, and the point is very clearly, if you look at what really 19th century was, it is regarded as the age of revolutions. So much of turning was taking place all over the world, extreme restlessness. And then in 1912, in one of our, no, sorry, 1917 or 18, in one of our talks in Japan, Mother says this restlessness is because now nature wants to take a leap. So whenever there is this moment of transition, there is a restlessness, even in individual life. A too satisfied man is a problematic man. So when we are too satisfied and the hour has come for progress, then the divine makes us, it shakes us. And we feel restless, the urge, dissatisfied. We try our hand here, there. Maybe one day we touch the right knob, like we were locked out. And we didn't know what to do. It was locked. So suddenly, knock and ye shall enter. I remembered, you know, the biblical phrase. So I literally knocked and somebody heard and opened. So you end up doing something. So humanity has been through this phase of extreme restlessness, which is we see today also. You know, children are restless, people are restless, and this restlessness is increasing because, and now we are moving in a circle of the mind, constantly new. How many G's you will have? How many new mobiles? You know, it's getting sick and tired of that. It's seeking. Now, in this, there are people who are still playing with that toy, waiting for the latest model. But there are some who are somewhere beginning to feel, this game, we have played with these toys enough. There has to be greater game. And it is these who suddenly you find the door opening inside towards a new evolution. All evolution is manifestation. This is the mystery. Even in a child, from the womb, we are using now the word evolution and manifestation in a very general sense. Look at the baby. Grows into a sage or a hero or a whatever person throughout. Now what is happening? There is in it, in the child, a conception and a seed, and it's manifesting itself. And how does this manifestation take place? Through an evolution of possibilities. Possibilities of thinking, possibilities of feeling. And this applies at every level, at mega level. Child even in the womb repeats the stages of evolution so far. From the little fish to, you know, the vertebrate and then to man. So all evolution is a manifestation. So now we have reached to a point where we are going to go beyond man. It has begun actually. It is not really the future, not definitely not a very distant future. It has begun. And this beginning of a new manifestation is very unsettling. Because the old order of things breaks down. The breakdown started, you know. There are people involved in breaking down. Let them do that. Their job description. Don't worry about modernism and postmodernism. Modernism broke down reason, or rather faith. And postmodernism broke down reason. So now, level playing ground. Don't worry about it. But there are also forces of new creation which are operating. New ideas, new thoughts. Because there is a pressure now to evolve something greater. New possibilities. Things which we had never imagined. So these challenges, these things are coming to lead us upward. This much is very clear. One has to just see this world with open eyes and it will be clear that these are different children. For example, I include myself as part of that. We are all children. Yeah, all who question the old world is a child of the new creation. I remember as a 7-year-old asking the Panditji, why this? He got very annoyed. He said, you have not trained your boy properly. He's asking too many questions to a priest. What to do? So I had questions. So these children are asking questions. And our reasons are not enough. They never were enough. But they are pointing out that they are not enough. Believe in God. Go to church. Go to temple. No. Why? And they are asking. So this is opening a door. They are seeking. So this seeking is so important. So sacred. Man is a seeker. That's how his journey has started. And to finish seeking through books or through anything, even through a belief system, it's not happy and healthy. That's how Buddha broke. And people thought he is Avedic. He is not Avedic. He broke all that encrusted beliefs and formulas. But this is only one part of the story. The second part has to be revealed. And the second part too is the new manifestation which is going to come up. So what is this new manifestation that Sri Aurobindo speaks about? And how is it going to come about? So basically this creation as it is, the creator as he has entered into this apparently jada prakriti, this inconscient material consciousness still below. But let's talk only about the material consciousness which we can at least, or matter, because we can connect with that. It has been through steps and stages. When you dim the light or slow the fan, it's not suddenly. If you do that, there'll be a problem. So it's a progressive process. When you raise the light or raise the fan, it's a progressive process. So there have been steps and stages through which the divine Shakti, the divine mother, has become just its very opposite. This is called involution. That's the beginning. And very simple way to understand is how the involution is that the tree packs itself in a seed and drops it in the ground. Entire zip file, super coded zip file. Amazing. It's a wonder. It's a miracle. I don't know. After seeing all this, who cares for other miracles? It's a super coded zip file that the tree packs in a seed and puts it in the ground. Now, here again, the same intention is the tree, the seed will grow into a tree. What will make sure that all the genes, everything that is inside will lead to the growth of a tree? That's the super mind. That's the determining power. It's the real idea. It's the law. Call it whatever. We can even use the word dharma in this sense. That particular seed will grow into this particular tree through all the steps and stages. So there is this pressure from within of this seed. It needs to burst forth. And humanity is experiencing it in various ways, running all around for solution. So here Shrivindo says that now the time has come. In the process, it is unfolding all the steps and stages. He says now the time has come for the next level of consciousness, the supramental, to start manifesting. Till now, it is the mind. So we can understand it in very simple ways of connecting. The child goes through to graduation, then he goes into post-graduation, then he goes into PhD. You can't tell him in kindergarten E equals to MC squared. There is a long journey of preparation. So what really is the supramental manifestation that he speaks about? Shubhendu was asked, what are the signs? One of them, he said, knowledge is bursting along its peaks. That's a sign that the mango is ripe. When it becomes juicy and you slightly press it, well, I am not an expert in mangoes, so I can't say. I am expert in eating mangoes. So, but the smell, the juiciness, the succulence, you can see, okay, now it can be eaten. The hard mango is only good for pickle. Hard mango is ego. So there are two kinds, layers of humanity right now. The very egoistic humanity. I know it all. I am all. Don't worry about them. God will make a pickle out of it. It has its purpose. No, pickle has its own uses. So don't decry that egoistic humanity. But others who have endured the process of turning into a ripe mango. He used to say, Sri Ramakrishna used to say like that. When is a person ready for spiritual life? He says, when it is ripe within. That's how it would automatically drop off. You don't have to do anything. It's ready. It's ripe. It'll drop off. So humanity has reached that stage where the mental ego has gone to a point. There was vital ego earlier, but mental ego. And it's going to burst forth. So what really is this super mind? And what really is this mind? Mind, we know that it operates on the basis of comparison, contrast, subtraction, multiplication, division. This is its way. That's how it differentiates. So it's actually, if we look at it, it's an instrument of division. Why it is needed? Because, you can't go to a ice cream shop and say, give me ice cream. You say, which flavor? Just about anything. You have to have pista flavor, kesar kulfi flavor, different flavors. So this differentiation was needed for bahushyam, multiplicity, diversity. But after the differentiation is done, you have to take the ice cream out of that for the eater to enjoy it. So ego creates a differentiation. It's needed. That's how the mind operates. It had its purpose, and we'll not go into it, but basic purpose is differentiation, variety, multiplicity, diversity, call it whatever, because he wants to enjoy diversity. Why diversity? Because he's infinite. So if you have a manifestation of the infinite in finite forms and names, it's only possible if there's diversity. There's no other way it can really express. Otherwise, it'll all be a khichdi. So even in khichdi, there is different diversity. There is a green khichdi, there is a yellow khichdi, there is a white khichdi. Lentils and rice combination is called khichdi. So there has to be diversity because infinite has to express itself. And there's a joy. Imagine if the world, everybody spoke the same language, wore the same dress, thought the same way. How boring it will be. People don't understand. They think that you can unite by making everybody follow the same religion, wear the same dress. That's not unity. That's uniformity. Unity by its very nature means each unit comes together and forms a unity. Each unit is unique. So that's how there is diversity. Mind does not have the secret of unity in diversity because that's not its operating system. It has to differentiate. You are different because you look different. You are different because you speak different. But I'll give an example that, you know, there is within us a core. People who travel, I have Mother's grace or destiny, I have traveled all over, most unwillingly, but anyways. So, thing is, when you travel, what do you encounter? Initially, you see the difference. Oh, there is a difference. People are different. Ways are different. Then slowly, after some time, you see it's the same problem, same core issues, same humanity, same. Sitting in Spain last year, I was having a discussion with the mothers there, and I was just looking and listening. I said, this could be just an Indian mother talking the same concerns. At core, it is the same. It's just that the surface there is. So always there is the oneness within and there is the multiplicity outside. And there's a joy in that. It's a celebration, and only the supermind can give us this clue, this link. Not blurring out distinctions, but letting each thing blossom in its own way. That's what makes a garden. There are roses and sunflowers and grass and some stones and everything. It's the nature of the world. But when mind operates with it, it doesn't understand. So it messes up. Mother gives a very interesting example. I love that example because I've connected. I mean, of course, her examples are so lovely. But as a child moving around in villages, I went through gardens. All of us have gone out. We don't use the word garden. Garden is a big word. Huh? We used to go through bagh, bagicha, and those places. Now you see, you know, randomly things have come up. There is a tree here. There is suddenly a tree there. There is, and it carries its charm. I don't know how many people have experienced that charm. And now, what does the mind do with its development? Polishes, makes figures, hedges, shaped like an animal. For God's sake, let an animal, he won't like it. It has gone to any extent. Everything must be trimmed and shaped according to my idea of what it should be. The joy of that, you know, look at how flowers bloom on a tree. We want to, you see, who makes that arrangement? Have you ever noticed when we arrange in a vase and when a tree arranges the flowers? And what is the tree doing? It's offering to the divine its own way. Of course, the mind has to meddle. That's how the mind has done. What it has done, we need not speak. It has tried to improve upon the work of the divine artist without understanding the divine art. So when supermind deals with creation, it understands the divine artist, the divine intention within, the divine will, the purpose, and that's how it does what it has to do. That's why when people went to Sri Aurobindo, if you read through his letters, one of the big challenges of Sri Aurobindo's writings is that he is saying one thing here. Of course, there is a central thought. But in his guidance, somebody is saying, sleep more, eat more. Somebody is saying, eat less, sleep less. There is a real story of a person who was telling me that when I came here inspired by X, whom he revered, and he came because, you know, ashram. So he came to the ashram, ashram life, sadhana, all these ideas are there, you know, of sadhana, sitting in meditation with closed eyes. And he saw this man that he goes to dining room, picks up tiffin, he is happy all the day. He asked him, where do you work? He said, nowhere. So one day he caught him. After 1 or 2 years, he said, you know what, you have disappointed me. He said, why? He said, I came following your example. You are a sadhak of that. What are you doing? He said, shall I listen to you or listen to the Lord? He said, what do you mean? He said, I asked Sri Aurobindo what I should do. He said, you eat in time, stay happy. He said, I'm doing it. You have a problem. That's my guidance. Just imagine, there are people like that. I know, I'm sure. The mother gave a bug. Oh, you read right and you are speaking on Sri Aurobindo. Continue doing that. Chot Narayan Sharma. Somebody, she would say, never go out of the ashram. Somebody would say, yes, it's needed for the work. So super mind knows the right law of everything. And this tendency of the mind to put things into a fixed format creates its own difficulties and challenges. So super mind is a consciousness which has simultaneously the truth of oneness and the truth of multiplicity. The truth of unity and the truth of diversity. It is the consciousness which automatically has it. It's inbuilt within it. So it doesn't try to blur diversity to create unity. It doesn't try to finish off multiplicity. But it knows how each thing must, to start with our own life and with the world around us. So its dealing with creation is going to be very different. It's not going to be a uniform standard pattern to start with. This is one thing. It is conscious of the divine presence in everything, not only as a static presence, but that presence which is unfolding in its own unique way in each one. Now this is the basis of unity. Try any mental way of creating unity. People who meet, just I'll take 5 minutes, then maybe, you know, 10 minutes of questions. So try to create unity by putting people together. We'll have a debate on unity. Unity of religions. Interfaith dialogue. They come out saying, see, I convinced them better. Mine cannot. But it's good that it is trying. But the supermind automatically understands it. It doesn't have to go this way. It's like many things a child doesn't understand, which a grown-up automatically understands. Because it's in the program. So now this supermind is acting, and all this is automatically getting integrated into the human consciousness. And we can see it happening all over. So many kind of walls which the mind had created, they are crumbling down. But crumbling down of walls is not uniformity. It means understanding each will blossom in its own way through its own law, and I have to participate in that. So it means, in short, the mind of man, limited mind of man, to become one with the mind of God. So the mind, then we understand the play and the mystery. Because the mind of God doesn't act according to our idea of how things should be, how I should do it. It knows perfectly what is required at each moment. So we become conscious participants by this exchanging this mind, human mind, with the mind of God. The heart of man becomes one with the heart of God. God doesn't go telling him, please love me a little bit. No, I am so unhappy in life. Whoever goes to him, he gives. He is the eternal giver. Eternal sower and the eternal giver. He gives love because he is plenty, infinite. So this problem is solved of relationship. You don't love me, you don't understand me, gone. And they lived happily thereafter. Because You are receiving all the love and sweetness that you can't even imagine from the source. Why would you like to go here and there and say, please, with a begging bowl, can I have a little bit of love, please? And come back hurt, because nobody can keep giving forever. But so heart becomes a home of sweetness, delight, and that love which is a vast universal love on all its creatures. This life becomes a rhythm of the eternal, a power which is flowing. We use the word nowadays, go with the flow. So I often ask, which flow? Because there are several flows going around. Flow of the divine current. Flow of the Shakti. Not the inferior flow of Prakriti with its threefold mode of working. Not with Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, but by the divine Shakti, which doesn't have any of these operating system. It has its own rhythm, a spontaneous truth. As it sees, it acts. That's why mother, one time she will say something, another time she may completely change. You can't fix her. That's why quoting her is so dangerous. Mother said so. Please. Most often we misquote. She doesn't act according to our fixed notions and, you know, engraved in stone. No, there is a beauty in that. So that's where we see that the life follows. That's why mother used the word wideness and plasticity, which is so important for the supramental manifestation. So wideness and plasticity, because her making of rhythms, her breaking of rhythms, her picking up this thread and leaving it and picking it up again, all that Shivinda describes in Maheshwari. That's why man cannot understand the ways of God, because he fixes him into formulas and dogmas and rigid beliefs, all that we gather from here and there, but that's not how the divine operates. So many things that we call today, oh, that is bad, we don't know. We should say we really don't know. So this is how life becomes the rhythm of the eternal. It's always in a state of delight. It doesn't act to get this. It acts as the river acts, flows. It acts as creation in which sun acts. Sun is a perfect example. It combines static and the dynamic. If you ask the sun, what are you doing? He'll say, nothing, I'm just where I am. But it will equally, it can say, you know what, by the way, very with perfect humility, that actually, you know, all that is happening on earth, all the seasons, everything, actually, you know, my doing, but actually I am always static. So it combines the static and the dynamic aspects of the divine, the Purusha or the Ishvara and the Shakti. Supermind has that combination. Other than that, it is only either that or this. There is a division. It is the division. And eventually, as this grows more and more, even the body must transmute and become a worthy temple of the Lord. Not because I want to look good. Oh, supramental being will look so nice. My hairs will assume the colors that I like, and everywhere golden light will come out. People will regard me as a great yogi. None of these. It has to be a natural organic process, and it'll happen because this body is eventually a temple of the divine, and as the consciousness changes, it will put pressure on the body. All evolution has been like that. Giraffe, the story of giraffe is like that. The story of mudfish is like that. So many stories. All evolution is initially there is a change of consciousness from the Cro-Magnon to man, the same story. And then there is a pressure and pressure and pressure from within, and the body begins to transmute. And one day after million years, you are a different person. So this is what is happening right now. The bodily change is the last, but consciousness has begun to change. The mind of light into a mind of night into a mind of light. And everything, all expressions will change. And eventually the pressure of this consciousness, the very body will undergo a transmutation. So this is in very, very short time. What is the future? It's already begun to unfold. The change is very evident to those who are on the way to change. Because you can see what happens within you, and you can see what's happening in the world around. But if we are just an onlooker, taking our station only in the mind, we will never understand this change. Because the mind is fixed format. It thinks things should happen according to my idea. If they are not happening according to my idea, then there is a problem, there is no supramental action. My idea is woman should stay indoors. Better if she is wearing a big black or whatever color. Then this is God's world. And if God rips off the masks, oh, this is bad. How do we know? At least we should say it. You have blocked one half of a whole creation, creative power inside. See what is happening. One simple action of the supermind. Not only children, women, empowerment, it's happening. You don't have to do anything. All the important positions they are occupying and proving better than men. We always knew it. Men knew it. That's why they wanted, no, because they knew. She will do it better. Age of the Divine Mother, Divine Shakti, what can you do? So many changes are taking place. We need not enter into it. Even what we call as evil, at one point of time, you see, drugs came in a big way. And they came, of course it is bad, very harmful, dangerous. But they came to break the pattern. You know, there was an angst that it's enough, this kind of a mechanical, controlled world where reason, analysis is doing everything. The heart of man revolted. And it took to this way. Now you understand and you find better ways, alternate experiences. So even what we think is bad is being used now by a greater consciousness towards ultimately good ends. I'm not saying that that is good, but it is used, because when the heart breaks free, it starts like that. It goes wild, but slowly the divine law in things prevails and starts reorganizing this world. And we are in for very interesting times in the most happening event, which is the new manifestation. It's happening right here within all of us. We should not look outside. It's happening within us. And we can participate in it, collaborate with it. Lastly, Mother says at one place, by the very fact that you are living in this moment, you are breathing this atmosphere, you are taking in the supramental substance. And I would close by simply giving this example. There are some who sign up for the supramental yoga. Okay. But there are gate crashers. And there are defaults. Because he is not confined to any which way. You may have signed up for the supramental yoga and thinking I am doing everything right. He may stretch his arms and pick up somebody walking on the road. Mother says so beautifully. He says, all that you need is thirst, thirst, thirst. Don't be satisfied with knowledge. Especially people who write books and give talks are the most difficult people. They can easily develop the illusion, oh, I know. So it's always important that, no, this thirst. The second thing she said, do not cling. Do not cling to your ideas. Do not cling to your opinions, viewpoint. Do not cling. You just admit that you don't know what's happening. That's at least an honest statement. Do not cling. And if she says, if you can have these two combination, thirst and do not cling, then even the extravagances of an American youth are a path. What a wide path this is. What is the extravagance? So those bikers going all around and you know. But who knows what's going on inside? Thirst. That thirst is so important. So that thirst we must nurture. And the humility, because thirst will bring only if there is humility, such a sincerity. Do not cling, so important. And then the new knowledge, the new consciousness will begin to enter and reorient our life within and our relations outside. Jai Ma.